today on Life Talk.
Religion is not Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. It's called a religion. It's called one of the world religions, but it's not really a religion. Christianity, listen, is a relationship with the founder of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not in relationship with him, you are not a Christian.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody. You know, you may have noticed like me that we're living in a day when Satan is doing all he can to muddy the waters of biblical truth. And one of the areas we find him attacking hardest is in what it really means to be a genuine Christian. And what I mean by that is, what are the evidences of somebody who is truly saved? What fruit should be manifested in their life? You know, we see all around us people claiming to be Christians, but their lifestyles are anything but Christian. So in today's message, I want to lay out some of the biblical evidences of genuine salvation. I think today's message is really going to turn on some lights. My prayer is that God will use this word to help us understand that if you're genuinely saved, it will show. And if you're not saved but thought you were, God will use this message to bring you into a genuine salvation experience with Jesus Christ. So let's get started as I share the message, the evidence of salvation. I want to talk to you today about something, and I really prayed about this, but I just want to deal with an issue that I know is really a part of the church. Now, I can only speak for America and what we call the West, but I want to talk to you about evidences of salvation. You know, a car does not become a car because it's in a garage. Amen? And if you go stand in a garage for 10 years, you're not ever going to turn into a car because you're in the garage. Amen? Amen. Neither does coming into a church building save you. Neither does doing religious things save you. And so I want to deal today with something I've just seen happening in the church, and that is a lot of people assume that they're saved because they do religious stuff. And I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. But I want to just read something Jesus said. He told us who he is, and he told us who we are. And I want to look at John 15, verse 5, just starting right there. Now, here's Jesus telling us who he is and who we are. I am the vine. I am, you are, the branches. Everybody say, I am, you are. Now, whatever Jesus tells us we are, we is. Amen? If he says you are, then you is. That's bad English, but it's really good truth. Now, he said, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's a powerful statement. That'll take away your self-confidence, right? Now he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and it withers. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? So disciples abide in him. He's the vine. We're the branches. We're not the vine. He is. We're just the branches. We bear fruit by hanging around in him. Amen? And you know, when I bring a message like this, I'm the one that had to repent before you ever do, because I'm getting this message ready. But now, let me just deal with this whole issue of really being saved, what salvation actually looks like. Now, Jesus is comparing himself to a vine, but for those of us here in Texas, I'm just going to say a tree, all right? He said, I'm the tree, you're the branches.
Christians are the branches. Jesus is the tree. Now, a tree only has two types of branches, living ones and dead ones. Branches that bear fruit and branches that don't. And in Jesus' illustration, the branches that bear fruit are genuine believers. Please catch that. He's showing us the difference in the passages we just read between somebody who's really saved and somebody who might think they are or somebody who's not. He says, the branches that bear fruit, the fruit of the kingdom, are genuine believers. And those that don't bear fruit aren't. The branches that do not bear fruit are those that profess to believe, but they lack the fruit that indicates genuine salvation has ever taken place. Because it's not what you say so much, but it's what you do, and it's the fruit that you bear that is the evidence of true salvation. Jesus says that a person is either attached to him, the true vine, and abiding in him, consistently, ongoingly, daily abiding in him, or they're attached to some other kind of worldly, fleshly, non-Christian tree. Everybody with me? Now don't get nervous. Y'all are looking at me like you're nervous. Don't get nervous. You're saved, amen? Now watch this. The fruit, says Jesus, is what tells the story. Not what you say, but the fruit you bear is what tells the story. As a branch, you may be attached to the tree of Buddhism, or to the tree of Hinduism, or to the tree of secularism, or the tree of New Age, or the tree of some cult. Whatever it is that you're attached to, you will bear the fruit of that. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. So you will produce the fruit, whatever you have decided to follow in your life, whatever is premier in your life, you will bear the fruit of that. And it won't be, if it's not Jesus, then it won't be the fruit that Jesus produces, which is listed in Galatians 5:22. Now here's what is going to be coming forth in your life if you are abiding in the vine. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As a branch, that's the fruit that ought to be coming out of your life, the branch. That's the fruit that ought to be hanging on your branch. That fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. That's the fruit of the kingdom. That is the evidence that we are hooked into, attached to, abiding in, truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whoever we're attached to, we're going to bear the fruit of that. We're going to bear the fruit of that. You can't get away from it. If you're an atheist, you're going to bear the fruit of atheism. Whatever it is you have decided to be, your premier, leading, overarching worldview, that is what you're going to bear the fruit of. You can't get away from it. And Jesus says emphatically, you will know what tree you're attached to by the fruit it produces in your life. Now, the Lord's point here is this, that if you're truly saved, you're going to show the evidence of it. Everybody say evidence. I'm calling this message today evidence. So say it again, evidence. See, if you've been out in the sun for 4 hours, out in the August sun, you don't need to tell us you've been out in the August sun for 4 hours. We're going to see it all over you because you're going to have evidence you've been in that sun. Amen? If you're walking with Jesus and he's really the Lord of your life, you don't need to tell us. We're going to see the fruit hanging on the branch of your tree. We're going to see the fruit. Your life will steadily produce the fruit of the true vine, who is Jesus Christ. Now, folks, this is very important because there's many people who believe they're saved because they're religious. They attend church services. They do good things to the needy and the poor. They give money away. They do good religious things and so on and so forth. But in their own eyes, they're fundamentally good people. You know, right now as I preach and as you sit there and as we're having church today, all over the United States of America, can I be honest with you? Tens of thousands of people are going into church buildings who do not really know Jesus Christ. There are preachers standing in pulpits who are dead, preaching to dead congregations.
there are all kinds of people going to churches all over America today who have never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. They're still lost. They're just going through the motions of religion, but they've never really met the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true. I wish I could tell you it wasn't true, but I read all the stats. I read the polls. I know that it's true. They profess to being saved because they don't break the law. They're good citizens. They're good moms. They're good dads. They do good things. And because they go into a church building, they believe that they're saved because they're going through the motions of religion. But folks, can I tell you, religion is not Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. It's called a religion. It's called one of the world religions, but it's not really a religion. Christianity, listen, is a relationship with the founder of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not in relationship with him, you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. See, there are people who profess to being saved, but there's a disconnect between their profession of faith and how they live. What they allow, what they embrace as acceptable morals and ethics, and what they accept as spiritual truth. There are people going into churches today who will tell you, well, Christ is a way, but he's not the only way. God sees your good intentions. You don't have to be a Christ-professing Christian to get into heaven, because God's a God of love. He's going to let everybody in who have good intentions, and they really mean it. And the bottom line is, the person that says that is still lost. Because there is only one way, only one truth, and only one life. And his name is Jesus. And we've got to be in connection with him. He said, if I'm the vine, if you as a branch are abiding in me, you're going to produce the fruit of the kingdom. But if you're not abiding in me, you're going to wither up and you're going to die. I mean, it's very, very straight. And I'm not telling you anything that Jesus didn't say. I'm here to preach Jesus, not Jeffisms. Amen. God didn't call me to tickle ears. God called me to tell the truth, and I'm called to preach Jesus, quote Jesus, stand for Jesus, clarify Jesus, explain Jesus, glorify Jesus. And I want you to know that there's people out there that they allow things, they embrace as acceptable certain morals and ethics that are not biblical. And they accept things as spiritual truth that are not truth at all. Things that the scriptures condemn or at least advise against doing, they practice with no conviction of sin at all. No sense of the need to repent at all. This is why the Bible advises, I'm going to quote it to you, 1 Corinthians 13:5, Living Bible, it says, check up on yourselves. Check up on yourselves. Another version says, examine yourself. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? I'm quoting the Bible now. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all?
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
We need to hear this, folks. It's time that we got straight about this. There's people that say they're Christians. They're not Christians at all. And we need to know the difference. So we need clarity on this, do we not? Come on, do we need clarity on this? We need clarity on this. So I'm just going to let the Bible speak for itself as to what it identifies as genuine evidence of salvation. What are the evidences? Because there are evidences of salvation of what fruit should be on the branches of a person truly born again. What is real? If somebody has had a real encounter with Christ, what does it produce? What are the evidences of it? All right, here's the first evidence, a changed life. If you're really a Christian, you will have a changed life. I want you to listen to what Paul wrote. He said, when somebody becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Everybody say brand new person. Where does it happen? Inside. See, real salvation is not outside. It's not outer. It's not the way you display yourself, but it's an inward event. Real salvation is an inside job. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old is passed away, and all is become new. He's a brand new creation. So the Bible is letting us know it's not rehab. It's not self-improvement. It is not turning over a new leaf. It is not a New Year's resolution. Something has happened on the inside of somebody who has truly been saved. They have an inner transformation that no man could ever bring about. You are changed from the inside out. You are a brand new creation. Brand new creation. You're a brand new creation. Now, you're not perfect, and I'm not saying anybody who is really saved is perfect, but you are indeed changed. There's a recognizable difference. There is a before and there is an after. You ever seen that? What is that show? Extreme Makeover? Where they either get somebody who really never worried about taking much care of themselves, and let's say they've been married 30 years, and they go and they talk the wife into coming in for an extreme makeover. And the husband, he's kind of dumb and dumber. He has no idea what's going on. And they get her in there, and they bring in the best makeup artist and the best hairstylist and all these different things, and they do a makeover on this wife. They bring the guy, and this is the big moment of the show, they bring the husband into a room or something, and then they walk her out, and he hardly even recognizes her. I've seen husbands on these shows cry because he can't believe that's his woman. And he's breaking down and he's just freaking out. And he says, oh my. And it's this extreme makeover because there was a before and there's an after. And folks, when you're really saved, it may not be that extreme at first, but there is a before and there is an after. And the countenance has changed, and the heart has changed, and the lifestyle has changed, and all kinds of things have changed because you have experienced a miracle of God, the greatest miracle of all. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work of God. Your speech changes, your morals change, your character changes, your lifestyle changes. We see a difference. No, you're not perfect. Yes, there's all kinds of spiritual growth that still needs to take place. But there is a distinct change. There is a difference. You're not who you were. We know you're not who you were. We look at you and we say, you're not who you used to be. There is an immediate, recognizable, observable change in behavior and demeanor when a person is truly saved. Come on, everybody, give the Lord. That's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. This is a miracle of God. Now you might say, well, Jeff, well, what do you mean by changes? Because I'm trying to figure this thing out because I think I'm a pretty good person. And you may be. I'm not saying you're not. But what kind of changes in particular? Well, that leads me to the second evidence. So the first evidence is a changed life, a distinctly changed life. You're not going to where you used to go. You're not doing what you used to do. You have, and this is the second point, changed affections and desires. Genuine salvation produces in the believer a whole new set of desires and affections. Hear me on this one, folks. Now you say, well, Jeff, why would you bother with speaking on this? Because I love you. And I want us to know that we're saved. And just as a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, I want to clarify what real Christianity looks like, because there's a lot of fakes out there, a lot of fake presentations of Christianity where you can kind of do what you want, go where you want. Jesus loves me anyway. And the bottom line is, if you've been saved, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a changed walk. There's going to be a changed talk. There's going to be a changed heart. There's going to be a changed what you say, how you say it. He cleans up your speech. He cleans up your thinking. He cleans up your life. Changed affections and desires. Genuine salvation produces in the believer a whole new set of desires and affections. Remember, Paul said, you're a brand new person on the inside. Something has happened on the inside. You're a brand new person. So first, a truly born-again person will evidence a genuine love for Jesus Christ. You will love Jesus Christ. Before you knew him, you said Jesus Christ in a bad way. Jesus Christ. But once you know him, when you hear somebody use his name that way, it hurts you, it grieves you, because now you love Jesus Christ. A real believer loves Jesus Christ. Can I say it again? A true believer is in love, is in love, is in love with Jesus Christ. Listen to what Peter wrote. He said, though you have not seen him, yet you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We haven't seen him, yet we love him. How in the world can you do that? Some of us have trouble just loving somebody we can see. How do you love somebody you can't see? Well, it happens by the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And that Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And he changes your heart, your affections, what you love and what you hate, what you chase after and what you shun. He changes your heart. And one of the things he does in our heart is he causes us to fall in love with the one who died on the cross for us. We love him. Everybody say, I love him. Say, I love him. I don't have to see him. I love him. I'm looking forward to the day that I do see him, because when I see him, I will be like he is, because I will see him as he is. But I don't have to see him to love him, because the Holy Spirit has birthed in my heart as a child of God a love for Jesus Christ. I love him. I love Jesus. Amen? Now, some days it may, feel like it's ebbing a little bit low. I don't wake up and go through the whole day just, filled with and talking to and loving Jesus where I can't focus on anything else. But when I wake up in the morning, I know that I do love him, the one that died for me, gave his life for me, took my place on the cross, spilled his blood for me, rose from the dead on my behalf. And guess what? One day he's coming back for me. And so I love him. Amen? I love him. This means you care about what pleases him or what grieves him, because you love him. What he wants for you or what he doesn't want for you, that matters to you if you're a real believer, because you love him. Anybody you really love, you want to spend time with them. You want to come to know him better. You want to hear about him, worship him, be in his presence, talk to him. You got a Jesus thing going on. I didn't grab hold of a religion. I don't care about religion. I don't care about being in some religious rules and regulations and just something I do for a lifestyle. No, no, no. I became a Christian because he first loved me. And now I love him. I'm in a romance with Jesus Christ. I got a thing going on with Jesus Christ. Listen, anybody who is really saved has got something going on with Jesus Christ. You ask them, who is he to you? And they will say, I love him. He died for me. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I love him. Jesus, if you're really saved, becomes the central figure of your life. Paul said, to me, living means having Christ. To die means I get to have more of him. It's all about Jesus. Everybody say it's all about Jesus. See, I'd rather have a church of 500 people smack happy in love with Jesus Christ than 10,000 religious deadheads where you could ice skate to your seat because it's so cold in there. There's no life. There's no fire. There's no love. No, give me 500 people that love Jesus Christ. Now listen, to the unsaved person, there's no such desire. It's not there. Jesus is just another historical religious figure that lived back there and said some good things worth emulating, along with other religious leaders, but they're not in love with Jesus Christ. They're not in love with Jesus Christ. So if you really are saved, there's a love relationship there. Having not seen him, yet you love him.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.